Hello, Pedro.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Walt calling.
Hey, Walt, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you today?
Yeah, not too bad.
Kicking around?
Yeah, just getting started, man.
Just waking up, getting going?
Yeah.
Did you have a show last night? No, you said you had a couple days off.
No, we're off the road, and I take off tomorrow, head out for Knoxville, and we go for about another 10 days or something. And, boy, then I got another week of show off, and then we hit it for, like, another month.
Yeah, man, you got a lot of shows going.
Yeah, it's between, Dickie's group and Devin's group, it's getting pretty crazy.
That's good, though, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Now, keep me out of trouble. Or in trouble, I'm
not
sure.
Or keep you in trouble, but, yeah, either way, you're okay.
Right.
How the heck did you get such a good gig, man?
Not to
say you're not talented. I mean, you know, luck and timing is everything. How the heck do you...
Yeah, timing certainly has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Interesting story, I guess. I was working in down here in Florida, in Sarasota. I knew that Dickie was working there. And I kept hanging out, and eventually the... kind of put me in a position where, I could be around while Dickie was doing his stuff. And I just kept showing up with an old national tricode.
Mm-hmm.
And, eventually Dickie and I just started, talking about all the Delta stuff and country blues and sitting around and playing that stuff. And then he started inviting me out to sit in with the band for, rehearsals and then a couple gigs. And I did a show with those guys in Atlanta, and sat in playing slide guitar. And on the intermission, he pulled me back into the back of the bus, and, he's like, I understand you're a bass player, that's your main instrument. I said, yeah. And he said, well, he's like, you think you can learn these songs? And I told him that I had already done that, just in case.
Good for you.
Basically, he said, well, in about a week or so, we're going to be heading back home. And, we could do some sort of audition. I said, that'd be great. And then I got a call, a couple of days later, to let me know it was definitely going to happen. And he started discussing the pay. And so, they came back and we did three songs. We played three songs. And then by the end of the third song, he said, I guess what I'm trying to say is welcome aboard. He's like, the rest of you guys can fly home. We head out Monday. And, he turned to me and, said, learn the rest of the songs by then. I told him, it wouldn't be a problem, so.
I already know him.
So that's how it started, basically.
What were the three tunes?
The three tunes, let me see. I believe we did Liz Reed,
yeah.
Jessica, and what was the third one? It was either... Shit, this is a while.
This is a long time ago now. Yeah,
it was one or two. It was either Seven Turns or Statesboro. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't recall. I don't recall.
Well, you've played a lot of songs, before and after that, so
yeah, definitely the case.
And you were born into a musical family.
Mm-hmm.
So was there ever a moment where you thought, maybe I wouldn't be involved in music as a career? And if so,
When I was younger, I thought that visual art was going to be my thing.
You were going to be an artist.
Yeah, I mean, I come from... My father was, a painter. And I thought that was going to be my field of study. I was pretty sure about it. And I was, in high school, I kind of... I was a... a kid who spent more of my time screwing around than working hard.
Yeah, I'm that kid. I was that kid.
But I guess I got, some kind of acceptance to the Art Academy in Cincinnati, and I think that was in my junior year that they told me that, pretty much regardless of any kind of test scores that I was in. So I was, pretty sure for most of my high school that I was going to pursue fine art as a career. And at one point, I think it was, when I was done with high school, I'd already taken, I think, a semester of classes at the Art Academy, and it just dawned on me that music seemed to be the path of least resistance, because I, you know, didn't need to push myself to keep working with music, whereas art, I always needed some kind of assignment or someone to be on my back to help me get it done. And, you know, music was something that I, you know, pushed myself with, was always working on all the time, and it just seemed to be the logical way to go.
Yeah. Now, you can play a variety of instruments, huh? I mean,
everything
from, of course, you know, all different types of guitars, but a lot of African instruments as well.
Yeah, I haven't, you know, had the opportunity to pursue that lately.
Yeah.
When I lived in the Northeast and was working with the West African musicians, that, you know, I was surrounded by that music all the time, and it made a lot more sense for me to really get to play the Ngoni and the Sentir, which is a Moroccan version of the same thing. They're like West African lutes. They're really the predecessor to the banjo, to the modern banjo. So, you know, I was really into that stuff for a long time, spent a lot of time trying to learn as much as I could. Unfortunately, once I got down here, I just lost the exposure to that kind of, you know, culture, and I haven't really been able to pick up on it like I'd like to. But, boy, I spent about 3 years, you know, actively chasing that stuff down, and then, you know, another year trying to work on it, and I don't know what to do with it anymore.
Well, maybe it'll come back, you know, circle around later on in your career.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of music, you know, especially picking up different instruments and, you know, the Latin stuff and the Puerto Rican stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I always find myself coming back to certain points in my life, or taking a trip somewhere and, you know, getting engaged in those type of music again.
Now, do you play the B3?
B3? No. Okay. That's one that's way too complicated for me.
Too many buttons. Yeah, man, that thing is, that's nuts.
That's like flying a spaceship. I'm not sure exactly how to deal with that stuff.
Yeah, no, me neither, man. I look at that thing, and I
respect anybody who can figure out all that stuff.
Yeah, and make it all work, and you know, actually make music out of it.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah, and I've been blessed lately too. I mean, working with Mike Koch and Jack Kirtner too with Honey Tribe. Jack's a very, very talented cat, and of course Mike. I mean, Mike, you know, goes without saying, he's got a long career that speaks for itself, but. those guys are great. You know, I'd never really had the opportunity to work with, you know, organ players and long-term projects until these two. And I sure wouldn't want to do something now without them.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a chance to speak with Devin. Must have been a month ago almost now.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might have checked it out on the website.
Yeah.
He's a nice cat too, man.
Yeah, those guys are great, man. You know, I met those guys. They were opening up for us down here in Florida at the Rib Fest. It was a great show, big show. I think there was something like 24,000 people throughout the course of the day. You know, they opened up for us, and I ended up, you know, chatting with some of the cats after the gig, and, you know, real nice guys, and some of them were related to cats that I was working with down here. And, odd circumstance, actually, how I ended up playing with them. I was, you know, well, they came back to town about a month later, and I was going to go sit in with them, and, you know, I ended up having some car trouble and couldn't make it, but I wanted to keep my word, so I told them that the next time that they were anywhere in the South, you know, I'd come and catch up with them at a show, and I probably should have waited, but they came to Mississippi, where was that? Was that Biloxi? I can't recall. There was some casino gig. And I ended up flying up there, and I, you know, borrowed an amplifier from Dicky at the time, which really made me nervous going through the airport with that, you know, road case, you know, Mark Dicky Betts.
Yeah.
Thinking I was going to, you know, if somebody stole it or got dropped or something, you know what I mean? It's a lot of liability.
Some crazy fan bonk you on the head and just run away with it.
Right. But nonetheless, we got into the casino, and I was coming to, honestly, I wanted to try to talk to him into, maybe split in a tour bus so I could pursue my project and, you know, and maybe we could do something together and split the cost of traveling. When I got there, I brought a bunch of CDs of, you know, a guitarist that I was working with who was related to a guitarist that they were working with, and found out on arrival that he had decided not to go on the road with them anymore, so they were one short. So we got to talking, and, you know, they asked me if, you know, I wanted to sit in on the blueses and this and that, and, you know, and I was eager to play. You know, I figured, you know, I was there, you know what I mean, might as well play. And, you know, I think it was Jack Kirkman, actually, who kind of spoke up and said, you know, why don't we just use him since he's here? So Devin said, well, okay, do you want to play all night? And, you know, like, I didn't want to assume that. And I said, hell yeah. Let's play. So by the end of the night, they were asking if we wanted to make a habit out of it. So it seemed like a good idea at the time.
So now you're splitting time.
Yeah.
Moonlighting. It's all right. It's one big happy family down there, I think, right? You guys are all good.
It's great, man. I mean, you know, the music in general, and of course, you know, anything that's related to the brothers, is it's all been, you know, like getting involved in some sort of huge club, you know what I mean? Some kind of family that, you know, it spreads out all over the country. There's always people to look out for you, and there's always musicians, you know, waiting to talk to you and work with you. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity for sure. I'm glad you've made the most of it. But it also, you know, it also seems like you kind of deserve it and fit there too. You're a smart musician with you know, a lot of talent, of course. But I mean, you put yourself there because you're the best fit.
Well, you know, I love my job. What can
I
say?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, if it wasn't for people like Dickie looking for people, you know what I mean, with different qualities than the average musician, it'd be a lot harder to. I mean, you know, he helped form the whole organization, and I'm sure that, you know, his history of picking out cats, you know what I mean, like Warren Haynes and Dan Toler, and, I mean, shit, you know, goes on and on and on. You know, I don't even know how many people have been in the brothers collectively, but I'm sure it's a pretty handsome list. But you know what I mean, they've kind of put together, and not just Dickie, but all, you know, everybody involved. It's just great that, you know, they've created something like that, and the fans have been receptive, and it's a beautiful thing. Happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I know when Devin's album, well, your album, Honey Tribe, comes out, he's gonna chuck me a copy, and you know, so I can spin it for the listeners here, and I'm anxiously waiting that one, because the only Honey Tribe experience that I have, he told me, was old, you know, old music that was on his website and things.
Right.
So I'm raring for that. I can't wait. And I'm looking here at your album, And Friends.
Yeah, good. Now, I was wondering if you had a copy of
it. No, I don't have it. I'm looking on the website.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't list the tracks. How many tracks are on that album?
Well, I think there's 14 tracks.
Nice.
And, you know, if you go to MySpace, there's a...
Oh, I can listen,
you know,
there, yeah.
MySpace/Pedro Ravelo and Friends.
Yeah, you're one of my friends on MySpace.
Okay, great. So there's, you know, of course, a few tunes on there.
I'll have to check that.
If anybody's interested in taking a listen for free.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
Yeah, 14 cuts there, kind of, you know, inches, different types of Americana. And there's some bluegrass on there, and some country, a lot of country blues. I guess that's the underlying theme, is country blues.
Yep.
You know, it's hard to classify.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm thinking about our radio station here. You know, it's a community station, and I'm looking around going, I don't even know where to look for this CD in here. I don't know where, if they would classify it the right place. You know, I hate having, I like, you know, genres are good and all, but some things don't fit anywhere.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, and I've been thinking a lot about that. I've been trying to work out some distribution deals lately, and, you know, one of the first things they're asking is what section, and, you know, I mean, it falls into a lot of categories, but none really specifically. And I kind of was toying, you know, there's, you know, folk blues.
Yeah.
Bluegrass, I don't know.
Yeah,
I know.
Call it.
That would be a great idea to call it a country album.
Yeah.
Just because, it seems like such a wrong idea.
Yeah, right. Or call it world music.
Yeah, well, but it's all, you know, it's really Americana, too.
Yeah.
So at the same time, it's a tough one. You know, I feel like if I put it in blues, then a lot of people will be, you know, disappointed any time I leave that idiom.
Yeah.
And if I call it bluegrass, I think I kind of get pigeonholed in any of that modern stuff on there with, you know, you know, that doesn't really fall into that category at all.
Del McCurry and things.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, the folk music I don't have too much of a problem with, but then it's almost like doing yourself a disservice in the record store.
Yeah, no one goes to the folk section anymore, though.
Unfortunately, I mean, very few people. It definitely limits the scope. So, you know, I kind of decided that I'd have to go with, you know, some sort of alternative rock, which is the one thing that is definitely not, I kind of feel.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the best chance that people really getting to see it.
It'll get more eyeballs and fingertips.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
flipping
so that's
that
what
up.
I kind of bottomed out at. You know, I guess if I really honestly had to call it something, you know, I kind of consider myself a folk artist,
yep.
I guess. Or, you know, some kind of, I don't know.
Americana,
to tell you the truth, Wolf.
that's a tough one. You got to make up your own genre now.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, ironically, I mean, I guess, I've considered myself a jazz musician for years, and, you know, doing this album like this, and I got another one coming up pretty soon, and friends, too. Along the same lines, you know, very Americana. You know, it's very much a departure from what I've typically done for my own projects, and I think a lot of people were really surprised when I released the album and it sounded like that, mm-hmm. and, you know, the writing was more geared towards that kind of folk Americana stuff.
Yeah.
But it's fun, and, yeah, I love writing that stuff. I think it's a great songwriting basis.
Maybe it's, like, Americana jazz or jazz Americana.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I don't. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
I plan on doing another one like this, and maybe a third one along the same lines, and eventually introducing more and more of these elements of jazz and world music. And yeah, I figure by the time I've got about three of these things out and established, you know, some sort of, you know, meager notoriety, then I can really start pushing the envelope and introducing all the more abstract influences that, you know, I've spent time researching over the years.
Yeah.
And, you know, had the joy of traveling and picking this stuff up.
Cool. Yeah, I bet you bump into just some great people.
Oh, man, it's been, you know, I've had one hell of a ride, you know.
Yeah.
When I was younger and I decided that music was going to be my thing, I decided that, you know, it was my excuse to travel, and traveling was my excuse to, you know, play music as a career, so it kind of worked out. They both kind of, you know, canceled each other. So it's been fantastic, man. I've gotten to travel all around the world, and, you know, you're always learning something wherever you go and whoever you meet. Any kind of musician, everybody's got something that they can teach you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's always good to have a little knowledge brush off on you, especially when you're someplace foreign. You know, especially it's good to have knowledge and things brush up against you and fall into your mind and lap. Especially when you're around the world, you can bring back some, you know, other cultures to your own sound.
Yeah.
I know that didn't come out right. I'll edit that out. Don't worry.
No, but it's inspiring. It really is. You know, there's always something new to learn. And, you know, when I get a hold of some kind of music that, you know, I'd never really heard before and, you know, relatively unfamiliar with, you know, that's the most exciting thing.
Yeah.
It keeps me going.
Cool. Cool. It's very cool. Yeah, I'm the same way. I like to try a lot of music. I don't care where, you know, where they, quote-unquote, categorize it, but if it's something I like it.
Yeah.
And then I'll spin it, you know, get other people listening to stuff that they might not ever have heard before. That's important to me is, you know, trying to get, especially folks out there that someone might not know about,
mm-hmm.
and they should. I try to be that person.
Well, that's great, Will.
Yeah, man.
Need that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I've been thinking about, you know, this Alison Krauss stuff, you know, which is, you know, phenomenal. I mean, all of it, you know, musicians that she worked with.
Oh,
you know,
Jerry Douglas.
Ian Block, and, of course, Douglas. I mean, but, you know, that stuff, it's almost undefinable. I mean, it's in the bluegrass section or the country section, and definitely neither one of those things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of bluegrass in it, of course, but...
Yeah, just because she has
a lot of it that sure is not. You know what I mean?
I've seen her live a couple of times now. And,
no, I haven't had the pleasure of that yet. I sure would like to.
Oh, and it is a pleasure. Her voice is wonderful live.
No, yes.
And, of course...
Absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely go see her. And Jerry Douglas is just outstanding on the dobro.
Yeah, he's a big influence on me.
Yeah. I bet.
I think I probably picked up more from him and, you know, other lap, you know, proper bluegrass dobro players than I did bottleneck players. You know, we had a bluegrass group with my family down here, and, you know, it's just, you know, a great collection of bluegrass music, and we keep it playing all the time. And that stuff really rubbed off on me and affected the way that I approach, you know, playing the resonator guitar.
Yeah. Well, hey, are you a Cincinnati Bengals or Reds fan?
You know,
are you a sports guy?
I'm almost scared to say, but you know, I really don't follow sports much, man. I don't have that much time to sit down. I can't watch it on TV. I don't have the attention span for it. You know, I'd love to go see a game anytime. I mean, that's always fun, but. Sitting around and watching it on TV just doesn't agree with me too much. I think I'd rather be out riding a bicycle or playing guitar.
Yeah, cool. Because I know you're from, you said Cincinnati, right, originally? Or you live there now? One of the, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't. It's been about 10 years, I think, since I lived there.
Oh.
I went to Boston for a while and then.
Yeah, you went to Berkeley.
That's right, yeah.
Now, do you know David Fuzinski?
What's the name again?
Fuzinski. Fuzenski.
No, it's not ringing a bell.
Yeah, I did an interview, conversation actually with him. He plays the fretless guitar.
Uh-huh.
And he's an associate professor at Berkeley now. He's a cool cat.
Well, that's fascinating. Yeah, I've seen a few of those fretless guitars floating around. I haven't seen anybody play one properly yet. I'd love to hear that stuff.
He's amazing. He did some work with John Medeski from Medeski, Martin and Wood. A while back, and yeah, he knows how to do it, man. He also does a lot of clinics and things, and you know, at different locations and different schools. Cool cat.
I'll have to check him out.
Yeah, he's on.
Sounds fascinating.
Yeah, he's on my website with a conversation. If you click on podcast next time you happen to be there. And after, you know, certainly after I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna actually edit this quickly and go home and put it up on my website soon. Feel free to stop by and leave a comment or something, you know, get the ball rolling.
Very cool.
And, you know, that it doesn't hurt me at all either.
Right.
But I'm going to have to get my hands on, I'm interested, I'm looking at it right now, the This and Friends one. And
yeah, I got the, you know, I printed out that email, so there's an address on there, I believe. Is that a good one to send it to?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Cool, man.
Get one in the mail, hopefully, before I get out of town here.
Either way, no worry. I don't mind spending $15 on it either, but I want to play it, you know.
Very good.
Because
I want you to play it.
I do play, you know, my show is, if you ever look at the set list on the website, it goes all over the place.
Yeah, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, very free form, but I do anything from bluegrass on, man. So, whatever the hell kind of music yours is, it'll fit into my show.
Beautiful.
And I love it. Well, I want to thank you for taking this much time. It's you know, we've been chatting for 20 minutes or so here, and you know, I want to thank you for spending a moment, and I'm glad you have a moment to yourself, and I don't want to take that away from you.
No worries.
But yeah.
And you know, just for the people to know, I guess.
Yeah, give them websites.
Working on a distribution deal currently, but in the meantime, you can pick up the CD from PedroRavelo.com or Hitting the Note. Magazine.com, hittingthenote.com is the website.
Mm-hmm. MySpace.
You know, it's like the Allman Brothers merchandise company.
Cool.
Let me see. Well, actually, that's a magazine, I guess. what else? CD Baby. Definitely those three places.
And you have a MySpace?
Yeah, MySpace / Pedro Ravelo and Friends. You know, you can check out the CD and trying to get the scoop on the tour dates. And, of course, you know, PedroRavelo.com has got a lot of that information.
Yep.
DickieBetts.com, you know, very active website. Encourage everybody to go there. And don't forget about the Honey Tribe fellas either.
Don't ever forget about them. HoneyTribe.com.
HoneyTribe.com, MySpace / Honey Tribe also.
They seem to be quite cool. Now, you're coming back here. Let me look. July 8th, you're going to be in Enfield, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
At something called, I think, the Taste of Enfield.
Right, yeah. I saw that on there.
It's a Saturday show, and I'm going to be there.
Very good.
So I'll try to, you know, catch up with you. See if they'll let me backstage or wherever the heck it is, and see how sneaky I can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, give me a call. You know, just call me the day of the show, and
I'll give you a ring. We'll hook up. I don't know. You know, we'll do something bad together.
Sounds great.
All right, man. Thanks for your time.
Talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Thanks for the album coming and all that good stuff. But I just can't wait to spin it for the folks.
Great. Yeah, I can't wait for them to hear it.
All right, man.
Well, thank you, brother. I'll talk to you in Enfield.
Absolutely. Good health until then.
All right.
All right, bro. Peace.